Thing is, I really do know what I'm going to preach before I get up here, but I could catch it, but, you know, yeah, just throw it. One of you throw one at me. Why? I can catch. Oh, see, Calvin has it. See? You know, there's something to be said. I appreciate it. There is something to be said about having your own Bible. You know, that one, I have a ribbon in mine, so it already has my place marked. You know, and I don't have to stumble around to find it. But I do love digital Bibles and digital resources. In fact, I used most of those throughout the week. You know, when I'm studying and prepping and reading the individuals that I read, you know, to try to give me some insight so I can help preach to us. And if you're a guest or a visitor, you're watching online for the first time, I don't ever preach a message that's just for somebody else. I preach what is also for me. Because if I'm only preaching at somebody, I'm going to be a really poor pastor. And it's going to come across as I'm wagging my finger at you. And no one needs that. We can have enough of that in our own lives. And most of us, as we walk around in this world, we already do enough finger-wagging at ourselves, and we beat ourselves up over what we know or don't know or didn't do or should have done or the would've, could've, should've. And we have a phrase in our world that says, hindsight is what? 20/20. We're always looking back. We can see things clearly. And it's a reminder that a single event of life can change everything. And some of you have experienced that, where because of something happening, you look back and you can see everything oh so much more clearly than you did before. Everything starts to make sense. This can be very happy things, like when kids are born. You see things that you didn't see before. It was already there. Or when you finally, for some of you, get married, you see what all the trials and tribulations before was about. You know, or you're told what it was about later, right? You know, as your spouse may say, this is why you were a bonehead then. That's just mine, okay. And it's true, you know. That's just me. All right, see, Sue knows it. It's just me. All right. Oh, she's back up. Thanks. Why didn't you tell me that before, Dan? Somebody has to look out for me. Actually, I saw her come up. I knew she was there, but you know. But also, it's true when tragedy strikes. We look back and we see things a little more clearly. When a death of a loved one, we see things, and sometimes actually that's a terrible thing because we go, oh, if only I would have known. But you only know what you know when you know it. And I know that sounds really odd, but you can't go back and say, if only I knew what I know now back then. I mean, the reality is, if I would have known half of the things I know now when I was 21, life would be different. I hope in a better way. But wisdom only means you've learned it after the fact, to some extent. And a single event, or many single events, change everything that goes on. It changes how you see the past, and it changes and it colors everything you see in the future. At least that's been my experience. As I look back, and as the farther I get away from some events, the greater I can understand the impact of those. But in the moment, life can feel meaningless. You wonder, is it worth it anymore? And we read in the Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they may go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, but they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance? I think that for these ladies and for the disciples, life was pretty much meaningless in that moment. They're going, I don't know anymore. I mean, I don't know how much they really understood prior, according to Scripture. But I think at that moment, they're like, I don't know anymore. What in the world has just happened? And some of you very well could be in that moment today where you don't even know what has happened. Life has happened and you're like, what do I do? This isn't what I anticipated. You know, when single events happen that change, that cause ripple effects along the line, we wonder, what am I supposed to do now? What now? And life can feel very much meaningless, like nothing really matters. And if nothing really matters, then, well, you can do whatever you want, because nothing matters. And to some extent, that seems freeing. And I think our culture is leaning towards this idea of meaningless. And the writer of Ecclesiastes said, everything was meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Maybe Ron Clutter is going to preach on that sometime. I told him he could have that passage of Scripture. And he kind of looks at me like, that's okay, you can do that. But we can get in these moments where we utter those same words. And I think our world is leaning more and more into that. It doesn't matter what I do because nothing matters. And it is very hopeless, dark, depressing in every sense of that word. And yet, we read, they continue on, even in their meaningless, they continue on. And yet, one of the greatest words in all of Scripture, but. I like to say, but God. But God. But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. There's their first amazement and speechlessness. They're wondering in the meaningless of life, how are we going to get past this? And all of a sudden they look up and it's what they thought was their issue is no longer their issue. But now they have to figure something else out. What in the world does this mean? Wait a minute. The tomb is open. I don't know about you, but this is another kind of a scary moment of life when you expect something and all of a sudden what you expected isn't there and you're left going, I'm not speechless very often. Okay? That's where Eliana gets it from. Okay? She is speechless when she's asleep. That's how I know she's gone to sleep. You know, well, with that, I'm not speechless very often, but sometimes when I really expect something and it didn't happen, I'm like, wait a minute, I need to catch up a minute. And I think the women were there. They're like, wait a minute. They entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Can we just say, duh? Exactly. Okay, if I'm going into a tomb where someone is supposed to be dead and I get in there and it's dark and I see someone alive to the right of me, I'm sorry, I'm going to be scared. Okay, this isn't a lack of faith on their part, but their world is being turned upside down and they see somebody. And they see somebody moving. I don't know about you, but in the dark of night, when I see things move, I'm normally not excited. I'm normally not excited. And the angel has to say, don't be afraid. Okay, too late. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. They knew that part. They were there at that part. But they needed to hear, yes, that's who I was looking for. They were finally getting their footing of, okay, at least this person knows why I'm here. I am looking for Jesus the Nazarene. And he goes on to say, he has risen. He is not here. Go ahead and look. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The events, the what of resurrection Easter Sunday are not new, even in our culture. We know the story. They go to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. Jesus is no longer there. That wasn't refuted at that point in time either. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that that the religious leaders, they knew the tomb was empty too. No one doubted and no one disputed that. But they go, we got to tell another story. But here in the Gospel of Mark, we just hear this very interesting words of, go tell Peter and his disciples, go to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And then some more true words, trembling, fearful, and bewildered or amazed, they went off. Put yourself as one of those women. You went to do a task, one task only. And everything you brought is now useless, meaningless. Because the body that was supposed to be there is not there, but some other guy just told you that he rose just like he said he would. You're going to be a little bit afraid and amazed and bewildered. And it says here they didn't say anything to anyone. I think they were trying to get it, but we know they said something, right? You want to know how we know this? We have the Gospel of Mark. They didn't keep silent always. And sometimes that can be encouragement for you and I. Is sometimes we don't have the words to say, and so we process enough, and then we can go, now I can tell something. That's the what of Easter. That's the what of the resurrection. But I'm not going to spend much more time there for the goodness of all of us. But what I do want to do is to explore a little bit of the why resurrection matters. Why the what is important. Because I believe the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Everything is changed because of what we celebrate today. And I might be a hopeless, pathetic individual, but it's not because of this belief. Because it is this belief that gives me a little bit of hope. It is this belief that allows me to see everything else as being changed. The Gospel of Mark and the others don't ever tell us much more about the resurrection. Quite interesting if you think about it. But to be honest with you, they didn't need to. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul picks up some of this, and he doesn't tell much about the rest of the resurrection story. He just says, I received what I passed on to you of first importance. This is 1 Corinthians 15:3. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, also according to Scripture. He appeared to Cephas, also known as Peter, to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. They didn't have to say much because you could find somebody who had seen it firsthand. So Mark doesn't need to go in much more detail. And let's be honest, for Mark and the other Gospels, I think for us as well, it is the resurrection that gives clarity and 2020 vision to everything else that happened prior. Because see, if Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, his teaching and the miracles mean nothing. Whoop-dee-doo-da, as I would say it. He would just be another teacher. We may have him collected somewhere, in some kind of book somewhere, but he would be no different if he just died and there's a tomb and everybody can point to it. Without the resurrection, he did mighty things, but they mean absolutely nothing. If he is not alive, then we look at what we read elsewhere in the Gospel of Mark, and we might as well just put it down or read it every so often because it's just a nice, good story that someone came up with. But because of the resurrection, Jesus' words and his promises are true. What did the angel tell the ladies in Mark 16? He said, go to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. The disciples were told in just chapters earlier in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus said, I'm going to die, and I'm going to come back to life. And when I do, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. He had already promised this. And so when we, because of the resurrection, understand the power of the resurrection, when Jesus says something, it's true. When he says he's going to do something, it is true. And so when I read in my Bible, when you read in your Bible that Jesus says, I have overcome the world, that is true. When he says that I have come that all who would call on me can be saved, that is true. Not just because he died, but because he rose again. A dead man's words don't mean much. And I can almost guarantee you 2,000 years afterwards, we don't remember many people who died at Jesus' time, what they said, what they did. But we remember the words of Jesus. Why? Because he came back to life and it proved that everything he did was true. And we can have confidence in that. If there is no resurrection, Jesus' death means nothing other than just a really sad tragedy. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, Good Friday is not good. It is just a really poor, pitiful Friday. Yes, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, Scripture says. But our hope isn't just that Jesus died. It's because of why we are here today. Because the women went into the tomb and they looked to the right and he was not there. That his death means something. Because of his resurrection, his death and resurrection provides forgiveness, salvation, and life. Life. We are here today because the resurrection changed everything. This is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 15. Where he says, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then really life doesn't matter. If all we have, in verse 14 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, if all we have is hope in this life, sorry, it's verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all pity people the most to be pitied, the most pitiful individuals. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't wake up this morning and hope somebody would look at me like Larry and go, man, that's one pitiful looking guy out there. He might be thinking it, but he's not going to say it, right, Larry? Correct. Amen. There we go. All right. He's not going to say it. But friends, do we not sometimes look at others and go, wow, that's a pretty pitiful person? Do we not sometimes look at somebody else and feel like they really should be pitied? And then we probably should check ourselves, because if we really think someone is pitiful, we've missed it. Where maybe we ought to sit down with them and experience their pity so that they can gain hope. Many times, we just look down our noses without ever sitting down and listening and hearing and wondering and praying. But see, if Jesus is in a tomb, it doesn't matter. If Jesus is in a tomb, it doesn't matter how I live. I could, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I could, I'm going to pick on Larry today, so, you know, just because it's fun, and I'm not going to see him for a week, and he's not going to see me. I could look at Larry and go, wow, what a sad, pitiful person that is. And then I might go, I need to pray for Kathy, because Kathy puts up with him every single day that he's not golfing. You know, unfortunately, it's good weather, so he can golf a lot, you know. And I can look at him and go, man, I'm just so glad I'm not him. And I can look at him and I can maybe even go, man, isn't it great that I'm not like him and I can be different and I try to one-up him in every way. But here's the thing, because of Jesus' resurrection, how I live is important. So I don't get the ability to look at Larry and say, wow, what a wretched person he is. He is awful with a capital A. I don't get to do that. It means that when I see Larry and I see that he's truly in need, my heart should be going, okay, how can I love Larry the best? What can I do to help Larry? Because how I live matters today. only because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he is dead, then we ought to do what Paul actually says here in 1 Corinthians. He says, then what we ought to do is just let us eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. I mean, that's the epitome of, you only live once. But he says, but Christ has been risen. So how I live is important. What I do and how I treat one another is important, because I am to love them as myself. I am to love them as Jesus loves them. And so how I treat my neighbors, and everybody's my neighbor, matters. That is why the rest of the New Testament, really, if I could sum up everything from Acts on, it would be this: because of the resurrection, live differently. And this is what it might look like. This is what it might look like. Because Jesus can do what he does, we can live differently. Because the resurrection of Jesus happened, I can pray and something might happen. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, when I give of my time, of my abilities, of my resources, of my money, things may happen, and it is never meaningless. Whether anybody else knows doesn't matter, because there is someone who is alive right now. Amen was what he said right there. I got it, Micah. All right, you don't know it, I know it, you know? That's the truth of the matter. The reality is sometimes in my life when I am going astray, when I am sinning, you want to know what my issue is? I'm living as if Jesus is dead and not alive. And if I would only live every day as if he is alive, because he is, then I might be different. I can love others who don't even feel loved or lovable. I can sit down and hear a story without having to tell them why they're there. I can sit down for as long as it takes. I can walk alongside somebody as long as it takes, because I know, because Jesus lives, there is always hope that change can happen. Because the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope today and all of eternity. But we have to have hope today. Because of the resurrection, I almost put this up there and I decided not to, but I'm going to say it anyways. 1 Peter 3. Really interesting words, as a lot of them are. But Peter, of all the ones who realized what hadn't happened, realized how awful some of the things were that he did. He denied Jesus, and he goes on. He says these words in 1 Peter 3. 13, he asked this question. It's a rhetorical question, which means no one was really to answer, because the obvious answer is there. He says, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Peter? Don't you know who Jesus was? I'd like to have that conversation with him. Say, come on, Peter, let's sit down for a minute. Let's talk about what you just asked. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? The correct answer is supposed to be no one. But you want to think, as we like to say, this is a Brantism, meaning it comes from Alicia's side of the family. We want to say, Peter, did you hit your head? You must have hit your head this morning. Because the reality about that is the life of Jesus says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? A whole lot of people. But Peter believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Peter had seen Jesus. He had known what we celebrate today, that because Jesus lives, it doesn't matter if he dies, because he will live. And so he was eager to do good. Not as in slap in other people's face, but eager to do good in such a way of, go ahead. What are you going to do me? Kill me? My Lord died. Guess what happened? He's alive. Go ahead. Go for it. And he did the most good. Paul, in a letter to Philippians, says, for me to die is gain. To live is Christ. Die is gain. Why? Because of what we celebrate today. The tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. It doesn't mean they went and go played in the Roman road traffic, okay? But when you're not worried about that because you know your Lord, yeah, he was dead, but now he's alive, I don't have to worry about it. That's why the scripture would also say somewhere in the New Testament, I believe it's also Peter, maybe it's the words of Jesus, let your good deeds shine before men so that they may worship the Lord. They may not get it. You may not get it either. You may be in a time of darkness, of hopelessness, but I'm here to tell you the resurrection of Jesus can give you hope wherever you are. I don't know what has been said to you this week. I don't know what you're going to get handed on this coming week. I don't even know what's going to happen to me. I have some ideas, but I don't know. But I can know whatever happens, I have a greater hope than whatever happens in this world. Because Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John, in the 14th and 15th chapters, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome, and because of his resurrection, I can be different. I have hope. Hope is hard, though. Hope isn't something that is easily held on to. We must fight for hope. We must fight. And when you don't know if you can have any more hope, I hope you will look to the resurrection stories of the Gospel of Mark and others to know, because the tomb is still empty. Okay? Jesus wasn't just alive for a couple of times and then went back into the tomb. The tomb is still empty, and because of that, we have hope. And my prayer is that you will let the resurrection change you. Why? Well, I think I've laid some of that out. Because you can have hope. Because your life matters. And how you live matters. Because you can trust the word of Jesus because of the resurrection. Because you are not alone. Because he also said this in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Never will I leave you. I am with you always to the very end of age. That's why the writer, the speaker of Hebrews says, never will I leave you nor forsake you, attributing that to the Lord. You are never alone. But here's the hard part. You have a choice. The what has not changed. In fact, the guards of the day, the religious leaders of the day, and many other people knew the what. They knew that Jesus was no longer in the grave. They had to believe that that was important. See, they had the same evidence you and I do. And this is where you have to have faith. And you will have faith in something. You may say, well, how did it happen? I don't know. I'll give you my answers, but they may not fit you. I think there's some portions of Scripture that tells us maybe how it happened, but we really don't know, because guess what? Nobody was in the tomb with him, okay? Nobody else was there to say, this is how it happened. You had two guards on the outside, but all they know is something happened, and they got scared themselves. But what we can say is, it either matters, and I will live my life in light of it, or it doesn't matter. And then you will live your life in light of it. It is a measure of faith each and every day. So whether you have been a Christian for a long time, a follower of Jesus for a long time, will you let the resurrection change you still today? Or maybe you're not there yet and you're going, this is really interesting. Hey, keep searching, seeking, Keep being amazed at what Scripture says about Jesus, but you will always have to come to a time that you have to say yes or no. And the writers of Scripture say, today is the day of salvation. You can choose yes. The resurrection changes everything. It won't make it easy always, but it will make it worth it. For we now, those of us who believe in Christ, who know of the power of His resurrection, now know the truth of the words of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, that he who believes in me, even though they may die, will live. And so he holds the keys of death in his hand. He arrested death. He put death in a jail cell and says, I hold the keys. So for any of us who believe in him, it is just a passing through. Because of the resurrection, I do believe life can be different for you, for me, now, and into all of eternity. And I hope you will ponder those things and you will let the resurrection change you today. That you will make a decision of faith to say, yep, I believe, and therefore I will let it change me. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. Lord, we thank you that because of the resurrection, we can trust your word. That it isn't just another storybook, but it is the words of life, as Paul would say to the letter to his young protege. These are the words of life. And we know that because they are the words of life, we can trust your words, that we can trust what it says about you, and that we can live differently because you have given us the Holy Spirit to live differently. Because of the resurrection, we are to be people of hope, people of light, people of love, people that goes around saying to any and all, hey, life can be different for you this day because of who Jesus is. And so, Lord, as we continue to worship this Sunday, may we worship not just in this building, but may we go out and worship, proclaiming with how we live and how we speak that Christ the Lord is risen today. And to that we say, amen and amen. Will you stand if you are able?